What Melanie said in her prayer really hit a chord at the end when she says, give us hope for tomorrow. That's what this message is about right now, is giving you hope for tomorrow. Looks like hope's gone, doesn't it, in a lot of ways? We go through life, we live our lives, and we see all that's going on around us, and we suffer defeats, we suffer death, we suffer tragedy. Every time you turn on the news, it's something just more disparaging, just more negative. Seems deeper and deeper, seems more and more prevalent, seems like it's getting closer and closer home. And I think it's time we talk about what God says about all this and what he tells us to do as Christians. There's always been evil, and there's always been sin. There's always been darkness, there's always been wrong since the beginning of time. And we need to remind ourselves that if we are in Christ, we are not of this world. We're in it, we're not of it. We're in a different kingdom. And there is panic arising among the people of this nation of what is to come. And I do believe we prepare ourselves. I do believe we arm ourselves. And the best way we prepare ourselves, we arm ourselves, is we stand in the presence of God. The three Hebrew children are a story that's very relevant for today. I'm not going to read about that this morning, but I just want to bring this up. We talk about, well, the Old Testament was then, doesn't apply to now. We can take anything out of the Old Testament and apply it to today, still, anything. Think about these three Hebrew children we read about in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the situation. And let's apply it to today. Let's say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are over in Syria right now. And there's a terrorist group that's cowardly enough to cover his face and hood himself and say, get on the ground and on your knees. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Well, if you don't denounce your faith here on this camera, it'll be YouTubed around the world, I'm going to take my sword and cut your head and let it fall on the ground. Will you denounce Christ? What does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Don't matter, King, what you do to us. It wasn't a terrorist group with a hood on his head, but it was a fiery furnace and a very mean king that says, if you don't bow when I tell you to bow, you're going to die. And I love their answer. King, don't matter what you do to us. We're not going to change our minds. We're out of your hands either way. You kill us, we're God. We live, we're testimony. Either way, we win. So we're in that generation now, and it's happening not just in Syria and in Iraq, but it's also happening here in America. We see what happened in Oklahoma, another one in New Jersey. And we're seeing the march of evil trying to bounce itself into our arena. What do we do about this? How do we stand? How can we be courageous in such a dark time? Yes, I believe in the bearing of arms, but I understand this, that a bullet only has so much power. But what has more power than a bullet is the blood of Jesus. That has a lot more power. If you notice, when the death angel came through Egypt, there wasn't a shot fired or an arrow struck when the death angel came by. God said, stay in your house behind the blood, and it can't touch you. It just can't touch you. When it sees the blood, when it sees your faith, when it sees your allegiance to me, it'll know it can't touch you because you belong to me. If we are God's children, we belong to him. Now, I want to make it very clear this morning. This message I'm going to preach does not really apply to you if you're not born again. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a patty cake preacher that says, oh, we're all good. It's all good, man. If you are only in Christ, this message I'm going to preach applies to you. If you are lost and rejected Christ and in rebellion right now and say, I don't need him, then by George, believe me, he won't be around. I've seen a statement that says that people don't go to hell because God wants them there. People go to hell because they don't want God. Think about that. I don't want God. I don't want him. Well, you know what? You don't want God, then you don't get the benefits of God. It's just that simple. If you don't want God, if you don't want the power of God in your life, you don't want his presence to come into your life, then you don't get any of the benefits of that, which is eternal life, eternal salvation, eternal protection. It's peace and joy in a world of distress and darkness, that somehow we can have joy in that. Daniel's another example of the Old Testament that got thrown in the lion's den, manning lions, going to be killed because he prayed to God. Man, I tell you, this God thing's really caused some problems, hasn't it? I mean, it started way back, and it still is causing problems. There was an article I saw, I think it was in Davie County, football game. They've banned, this is Davie County. This is a rural, southern, Bible Belt county, Davie, next door to us. They have banned, before a football game, saying the prayer over the public PA. They said they can't do it no more. This is Davie County. Can't say a prayer with a PA before football games anymore. You know, I guess it offends the three that are there. I don't know. I mean, whatever. So you know what they did? It shows a picture of them. They all gathered silently before the game. You see heads all over the stadium bow down, and they're saying their own thing. That's a pretty powerful statement. So what? We don't need your PA to say a prayer. God's here. God's inside me. You can't take God out. A terrorist can't cut God out. A terrorist can't get rid of that. Fear can't take God out of me. So we see these Old Testament stories that say, well, yeah, it applies today too, because we're in that same position. Many people are in that same position today. They got to make a decision. Denounce your faith. Past that pastor from Idaho who's still in an Iraqi prison, who's got two beautiful children and a beautiful wife waiting on him in Idaho, or is it Idaho? Somewhere in that area, Idaho. I think it's Idaho. He's in prison, been there for 2 years, being mistreated, and the only reason he's in prison is because he's a Christian. He's a Christian. Man, why? I mean, I want you to think about this. Why does that threaten somebody so much? I mean, it's not like we're coming out with hoods and bayonets and M16s. I'm a Christian. I'm going to blow you away. I mean, really? I'm a Christian. Boy, that invokes so much anger and wrath and indignation, because that name still sends shockwaves in the kingdom of darkness, because they know their fate and their future, that every demon and Satan himself will one day be locked away in eternity with no more power to rule and reign. And they know that. So they're trying to grab everybody to hell with them on the way they can, trying to drag you to hell with them. And they know that. So we stand. How can we stand in a time of evil with such confidence and boldness? Let's start in the first scripture. A very familiar scripture in Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I'm in the shadow of it, though it's all upon me and all around me, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's talk about that a minute. As I was over here yesterday, that verse, I've read it at every funeral I've done pretty much for the last, 15 years. I've read the scripture pretty much every funeral, close to every funeral. And I've read that verse. And for the first time ever, this part of the verse came alive to me. Really came alive to me. Isn't it great when the Word of God comes alive to you? You've read it for 20 years, and for the first time it really comes alive to you, what it really means, or what it means to you. He'll prepare a table. A table represents eating. It represents a banquet. It represents blessing. It represents plenty. It represents you're part of him and he's part of you. In the presence of our enemies, they're going to see the seed of God rise and know who they are. And better yet, know they can't stop them. They can't stop them, church. They are the seed of the Most High God, and a cut-off head don't stop them, or shot-up body don't stop them. No, or execution's not going to stop them. Nothing's going to stop them. God's going to show them, here is my beloved, here is my people. I prepared for them this great blessing, this great banquet, and they're going to see who you really are. You are a child of the Most High God. Publicly know it and publicly see it. Just like we see their dark works, they're going to see God's work in our life. And they're going to know who we are. You anointest my head with oil. In other words, God, you've got me covered. You've got me covered. I'm yours. See, I was dedicated as a child to the Lord. Dedicated. Drop of oil on my little forehead. Dedicated as a child. We've dedicated all three of our children to the Lord. It's more just a little service that looks good and spiritual. We You know, we do it to buy the nice little gown for the baby and all the pictures and all the aha moments. It's not about that. It's about sealing your child with the protective power of God all of their days, all of their days, through the bad times, through the good times, through the doubting times, all times. Anointing, saying, God, I give this child to you. I anoint his head with oil. I give him back to you to take care of and to watch when I can't watch him, to be there when I can't be there, to protect him when I can't protect him. He's yours, God, and I trust you that you've got my child. Well, guess what? God's grace has anointed us, and we're his, and we're covered. No matter what we see around us, no matter where we go, we are the children of God, and no evil can ever cancel that out. If we would get worked up in the things of God as much as we get worked up in the media, and worked up in politics, and worked up in government, and worked up in the news, and worked up in what's going wrong, but get worked up in God, and understand why I don't belong here anyway. I don't belong here, as far as this is not my permanent home. I'm passing through. I'm on a long vacation to my destination. We will have that beach house, baby, one day. It may be ocean to sky, but we'll have that beach house. And we're on our way through the journey. That's all we are. This is not where we stay. This is not our eternal home. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, goodness, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever. No evil can cancel out that forever appointment. No darkness can ever take away the foreverness that God promised me in this verse that I'm his. So no matter what comes my way, no matter what I see on the news, no matter if it happens in Olin or Harmony or Union Grove or Statesville or Troutman or in my neighborhood, I can take this to the bank. I am in him and he is in me. And no evil shall overtake what God has already done inside of me. I will be delivered by the hand of God. I'm not careful, as the Daniel said, I'm not careful, as the children said, about my answer. No, I won't denounce my faith. Why is it so important you I denounce my faith? That tells everything right there, shouldn't it? I mean, shouldn't that really tell us everything? Why are they killing people because they're Christians? I mean, really? I mean, gosh. It's not like they're Republicans or Democrats. They're Christians, right? I mean, really? It's not like they're Duke fans. I mean, why are we killing them? Just don't understand that. It just frustrates them. It's not like we're going around causing problems. We're not going and killing some people in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not putting a bomb on ourselves saying, in Jesus Christ, you know, I'm going to get all these virgins in heaven, you know, because I'm that holy and I'm that good and you're a heathen and you're ill and we don't do that. We're Christians. We just believe in Jesus. But it's the only one, the only name that has any power unto life. Is that name. Go to the next scripture. This is one of my favorite Psalms, 91. I pick parts through. We're not going to read the whole chapter, just parts of it. Psalm 91, beginning with verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture what this, I want to give you a visual of what this verse means. D, bring your baby up here. I need somebody a little so I can do this. Kind of hold them under my coat. Now picture this. Here you are. The shadow of God. Now walk with me if you can. Here we are walking. Everywhere he goes, the shadow goes. Covering, watching, protecting. Do you think anybody will get this baby under this coat right now? There ain't no way. It's covered. Ain't it covered, baby? You like that, don't you? Thank you. Picture that as we're going, God's shadow, it's like Batman way before. It's like pre-Batman. You know? Or it's like the Hamburglar or McDonald's. Remember the old Hamburglar? Had the hat and coat and the little mask. He's covering us under his shadow. If I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, I think I'm pretty good shape. Yeah, the next verse. I will say the Lord, He, God, is my refuge, and He is my fortress. In Him will I trust. In God will I trust. Not in man, not in government, not in political leaders. I will trust in God. He is my source and He is my strength. No man can come against the power of God, and no man can overtake it. In God should we trust. Look at this. He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. All this junk around us, all the traps that are set, all the things lying in wait for us, God will deliver us from. He'll watch over us and He'll keep us from it. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings will I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. His truth, not man's truth, not the enemy's type of truth, but God's truth will be my shield, my buckler. It secures me and seals me and keeps me, and only behind His truth will I follow and will I trust. I don't care what anybody else says around me. I won't listen to those other voices. I listen to the voice of the one that set me free. Only one person went to the cross for me, and that name is Jesus. Only one person rose the third day and ascended after 40 days of walking the earth, and that was Jesus. Only one person is going to come back for the church and establish His kingdom, and that is Jesus. Only one name, only one person, only one God, only one power, only one authority. Every other authority squashes at that name. So that's my truth. That's my shield. That's my buckler. That's what I hide behind. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that fly by day. I'm not going to fear that junk. Are you serious? I'm going to tell you something. If we think that that people doing violent acts can take away what God did for us, we don't think much of what God did for us, do we? Think about this. Can God not keep me if He saved me? If I can't believe parts of God's word, I can't believe any of His word. So that's why I'm a believer in all of His word. I'm even a believer in the parts other people say aren't true. And there's a lot of preachers, a lot of scholars, a lot of spiritual leaders that are a lot smarter than me. But one thing I do know is I believe the Bible is the truth. I mean, I don't try to theologize everything out of the Bible. I don't try to say, well, Jonah didn't really happen. That was a theological. Were you there? Was anybody there? Because if you are, you're really old. And you're draining our Social Security system. So just go on home. I mean, think about this. Nobody was there. The Bible's clear on this. There is no doubt God could have a fish swallow a man. He's God. I mean, he's God. If we believe that He shut the mouths of lions, can't we believe a fish swallowed Jonah? He was in there. Jonah ran from God. So he then a fish, he repented, fish spit him out, he went and preached, Nineveh got saved, 150,000 people repented. I think God can do that. And that's just my take on it. I'm not as smart as some of y'all, but that's what I believe. All right, next verse. That ain't it. There we go. All right. There shall no evil, verse 10, befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. This is God's word. I mean, to me, this is the biggest authority we could ever have, right? This is the most, this, let me tell you a secret. This is more, to me, truthful than Wikipedia. It's more truthful than Google. It's even more truthful than your friend texting you something else. Authority of God. Look at this. God's going to give His angels. Y'all still believe in angels? Man, I believe in angels. I believe there's a presence that God, there's help God gives us that surrounds our lives, that watches us and keeps us and goes with us. And there's times I know He's kept me from things that I probably never knew about. His angels just stepped in time and just took care of me. He's going to give His angels charge over me. He's going to give His angels. I mean, think about this. We got angel protection. You know, last night I was over here and I was thinking about how God protects us. And, you know, you got the GPS, right? GPS. And I thought, God's protective services. Think about that. God's protective services. Man, we all GPS'd up in here. God's protective services, that he's got his angels. We got more protection than any government official has walking around in shades in a black suit, right? Man, we got angels. We got God's army. Bigger than the United States Army. Bigger than any world army. We got God's army watching us, going with us, protecting us and guiding us and keeping us in all of our ways. Man alive, I'm going to have y'all shouting here in a little bit. Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Because we love God, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Hallelujah, I'm glad I know his name. He shall call upon me, and I love this, and I will answer him. No voicemail, right? No callbacks. No, this number is connected. Please try again. I will answer. No busy signal. Never busy. I will call on him and he will answer me. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. No matter what trouble comes, God's going to deliver us and set us free. That's Psalm. This is Isaiah 54:17. This is talking about this chapter about the future kingdom of God for Israel. Because he made a promise to Israel that I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to restore you. And it'll be part of God's kingdom. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now understand, these people that were beheaded for the name of Jesus, it looks gloom and doom for them and their families. But you know what? That sword didn't prosper in their lives. For they inherited their reward. It didn't stop the prosperity of the hand of God. Because they profess Jesus. I'm talking about the ones that are being beheaded because they profess Jesus. And everybody's not saved that gets executed. But the ones that are getting executed because they're Christians and won't deny their faith. For those that say, I'm not denying my faith. I'm in Christ. He's my Lord. I'm not switching religions. I mean, he's who I believe in. A cut off head can't take away the prosperity of what they inherited. It can't. Just like someone that dies of cancer. We pray for them. We love them. We want them to live. They're in Christ and they pass on. Sickness didn't cancel out the prosperity for their lives. See, no weapon, no sickness, no disease, no death, no torture, nothing formed against us will prosper. It won't be bigger than what they did to us. It won't prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, see, this is Old Testament, this is law. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This goes back to the grace, right? The righteousness is of God, not of anything we do. But the righteousness that you have is because of me. Next scripture. This is the last scripture. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me. That needs to become very personal right here. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to who be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a powerful verse, ain't it? Go back to that verse, Jeremy. The Lord's going to strengthen you. The Lord's going to deliver you from every evil work. And he's preserving us unto his heavenly kingdom. I used an example one time. Joe Brown liked my example, so I'll use it again. Preservation. If you've done any canning, anybody do any canning? You know what canning is, right? You get your blueberries, strawberries, tomatoes, whatever you go get, and you put them in a jar. You got a seal, you got a lid, and you seal it up. And from what I understand, that's pretty much good forever until the seal's popped. As long as it's sealed and no leak, no air gets to it, them tomatoes can be in your cabinet for 5 years, and when you pop that seal, they're as fresh as they was the day you got them out of the garden. They're preserved. They're sealed. God preserves us. We are sealed until the day it's time to pop. Until the day he says, okay, time to come home. I've kept you all these years preserved. And now it's time to come home. The keeping power of God that saved us also keeps us. It preserves us. We have an inheritance waiting on us. We have a home waiting on us. We have a reward waiting on us. Do not fear any evil. Don't let the devil get in your mind and start saying, what if, what if, what if? What if they come to my house? What if this? What if they blow up this? What if they hit Charlotte? What if they do this? What? Here's the thing. All we should care about is, are we ready? Am I ready? Am I in Jesus? That's all I need to know. Because I'm going to tell you something. No matter what comes against our lives, if we are in the Lord, we can take confidence that we are in the Lord. And we're in his hands. Don't let the fear of the world get in the mind of you as a Christian. It's just not bigger than God. It's not more dark than God's light is light. And that's why we have to be careful what we're listening to. And just, you know, I got to where I'll hear a story and I just turn it then. I get the highlight and turn it. I just don't want it to keep planting in there. It's not that I don't want to know what's going on. I understand the enemy works and how fear can come into our lives. Fear. You know, there are parents that live in fear of their kids at school. Something going to happen to them. There will be some kind of shooting. Or they will come home. And see, as Christians, we've got to get beyond that. Say, you know what, God? If I believe you, I believe you. I got to trust you. Because we can't go everywhere with our kids. We can't go everywhere with our spouses. We can't go everywhere with people we love. There's times of separation. And we have to understand, God, in that time of separation, you're still there. You're watching them. You're protecting them. You're guiding them. You're helping them. I will not fear the evil that the enemy is trying. All right, we are back on. We are live from 347 Jennings Road. Hallelujah. Don't fear. The message God gave me for today was don't fear. I know it's marching close. I know things are all around us. But man, think about this. The death angel came down the same street they were at and didn't touch them. The same street and didn't touch them. Melanie had a dream several years ago. I believe it was you that dreamed. It was about the tornado. It skipped. How it hit and it skipped. Wasn't that you that had that, or was that me that had that? Oh, man. One of us had a dream. Okay. Well, one of the Lewises had a dream. And a tornado came through our neighborhood. And it was destroying houses. It was hitting houses, right? But when it got to our house, it skipped over and went around us and didn't touch our home. You had that dream. It's been a few years ago. See, God's showing us, look, I've got you. That calamity may be all around you, but I've got you because you're mine. You know, it's kind of like my own children. I would fight for my kids. I would kill for my kids if they were in danger. I wouldn't think a second about it. Somebody trying to hurt one of my kids, I'd be on them like peanut butter and jelly, okay? Like coffee and donuts, like banana and split. I would be on them. Now, let me say it this way. Because I love their mind, right? Now, I might would fight for your kids. I might fight for Trey if I was in a mood. Let's be honest. I mean, if he's in danger, I would try. But you know what? If it's my kid in danger or Trey in danger, who am I going to? Hello? Amanda might not come to church no more, but I'd have my kid alive. That's all I'm saying. Because they're mine. I'm going to fight for my kids first over everybody else because they're mine. God gave them to me. They're my blood. They're my seed. They got my name, and I love them. And no matter what danger came, I would throw myself in front of anybody if it would protect my children or my wife or my parents and a couple of y'all, the ones that give. I would throw myself in front of y'all. No, he writes the big check. Just playing. but they're mine. If we're God's, guess what? He's fighting for us. He sees Joe Brown down in Mooresville, okay? Then he sees another Joe in Mooresville that's not saved. And God says, there's my Joe. That's my son. I can't call this Joe my son, but I can call that Joe my son. So everywhere Joe goes, he's got the promise of God's presence on his life, everywhere he goes. Through surgery, through sickness, through tragedy. You know, they've been married for 50 years. Did a beautiful ceremony here a few weeks ago. 50 years of marriage, him and Sharon. And Joe's not one that complains or grumbles about things, about his life. But I know there's been hard times in those 50 years, hard times. But one thing, he lived in Ohio, that's hard enough. But 50 years of marriage. You know how I know it was hard? Because I'm married. So I know it's hard, number one. Number two, he has kids. So I know it's hard, number two. Number three, he had bills to pay and take care of a family. I've been there and still doing that. So I know there's hard times. And for 50 years, Joe and Sharon have endured so many things. And during all those 50 years, God's hand was on their lives. God's peace, God's presence was somehow there. In the darkest, hardest times of their lives, God was there. God's not going to forsake us, church, because a little bit of evil pops up. God's there. And he's much bigger than any group that tries to rise up and try to take over the world. I've got news for the ones trying to take over the world. God's done got the world. It's in his hands. We sing as a little boy, right? Little girl. Got the whole world in his hands. Man, there ain't nobody can do to that sky what God does every morning, every night. God hung that moon and hung that sun and dazzled all them stars that make all kinds of shapes of animals and symbols and connect the dot in the sky. Man, it's incredible what he did. Those mountains that soar against the sky. Now is the best time of year to be going to see in those mountains. And those, not on Sunday, though. I mean, not on Sunday morning. Sunday after church. And going to see those beautiful leaves, gold and brown. And, oh, they're beautiful. I mean, how those bumps on, you're talking about just bumps on the earth. Well, yeah, what happened? There was a scientist, and there was a gastro gold. Yeah. I got an acronym for you, terrorist group, G-O-D. God on delivery. There's an acronym for you. Because God delivers. And we see creation. He's got, I mean, there ain't no, there can't nobody take over the world. God's God. He's king. Understand that God is king. He has more power than any other being or creation. He's God. And if we believe we're God's, what are we worried about? Man, I'm God. God's got me. God Almighty knows my name. The Bible says in Revelations that my name is sealed in the book of life, and that one day the seals will be broke and my name shall be revealed. I know I'm sealed in that Lamb's book of life because I'm covered by the blood that overcame the world. I'm covered by that, and I'm His. So I know my future. I know my end. You know, it doesn't matter how I get to my end. I just know where I end. Isn't that really all that matters? It doesn't matter how I get to my end. Whether it's I'm on my knees, somebody says denounce Christ or be, you know, executed. Well, I'm going to be at my end. I'm just about to see you, Father. I'm like Fred T. Sanford. I'm coming to see you. And it ain't going to be long. G. Sanford, yeah. About to come see you, darling. This is it. This is the big one. No backing out now. Man, don't fear. Don't fear. I want you to stand to your feet. Melanie, please, come here and just play a little something on the piano, just something soft. I just want to say a prayer over the church this morning. I want to say a prayer. I want hearts to be encouraged this morning. And I want to just publicly declare through the authority of Jesus a protection of our lives, a protection of our minds, a protection of our hearts, and that if you are facing fear today in your life, say a little softer if you can, a little softer. If you are having any fear this morning, I want to pray that fear be gone and that God replace that fear with faith. Will you lift your hands to the sky with me today, church? Lift your hands right now. Just lift them up to the Lord, knowing that we need them. Lord, I declare over this house of God, you have put me in charge, Lord, as the pastor of this church. You have put me as a watchman, God, on the tower. God, you put me as the eyes and ears in a spiritual generation to sense and to watch and to hear from you what's happening, what's going on, and where do we turn. And God, take that responsibility with great humility. I declare right now, Lord, over this congregation, that hearts and minds be sealed with faith, with power, with your presence, and that we will not fear any evil. That if we are facing fear today, if we are being tormented by what's around us, that you will take that off of us and replace it with you, God. Knowing you can still shut the mouth's lines and you can still turn off the furnace and you can do whatever you want because we're in you. I declare a protective seal upon the seed of God of this generation. A protective seal of the Holy Ghost that will go before us and surround us and cover us. That no matter how many executions or how much darkness we see, that we are covered by the blood of the one name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Thank you for that, God. And I call that forth, that we walk out of here knowing we have been prayed over in your name. And that for the heart that doesn't know you right now, for the unbeliever, for the rebeller, for the one that says, I don't need you, God, speak, Holy Spirit, speak. In a bold way, and let them know you won't always be around. The Bible says to call upon the Lord while he is near. So Lord, let them call on you and say, I need you, Jesus. I can't face tomorrow without you. I can't face this darkness without you. I can't face the uncertainties without you. I've got to know you're with me in my every moment and every day. I've got to know you're with me. Thank you, Father. Seal this place. Seal this ministry. Seal your people and seal this body. Seal my family, God, with your grace and with your blood. In the name of Jesus, we declare it that you are God and God alone. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Do not fear, church, what's coming or what's already here. You're in God. You're in God. The devil has no authority in your life if you're in God. No authority. The blood has got you covered. Send your kids off with peace knowing they're okay. They're okay because God's got them. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can be seated. If I can get some ushers up here, we'll receive our offering. Time to give to the Lord and just stay up here. As you give this morning, I want you to understand the importance of what you're doing. You're investing in God's kingdom. You're not necessarily just giving money to an organization. You're investing in God's kingdom. It's very important to realize what you're doing there, that you're sowing a seed for the kingdom of God, that it can grow and that lives are changed. And it's just a very important concept to know what you're doing. You're sowing to God. Lord, we ask your hand upon the seed as this so today that, Lord, we understand that we got to trust you in all areas of our lives, not just to protect us, but, God, we trust you to take care of our financial part of our lives, that our needs are met, our bills are paid, that we have enough, God, enough food in the house and heat in the winter. And, God, you're a provider of all that. As we sow our seed to you, God, you take that and you say, okay, they trust me. They trust me more than themselves, and I'll do something with that. I thank you, God, that we have this seed, whatever it is that we can sow, and let every heart sow it with thanksgiving, with obedience, and let them sow it from a true heart, God, of wanting to give into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.